wanted to mention in this, in regard to this first section, is that in choosing Medicaid, we had a choice with this new child health block grant to go with the private model or a Medicaid model. If we went with the private model, then we would need to screen the children for Medicaid, and if they were eligible, we would have to then put them on the Medicaid program. That's kind of the basic rule with this new block grant. The reason we chose Medicaid, as Jay mentioned, was largely influenced by the fact that we could serve more children through Medicaid, and part of that ties to this issue with Indian Health Service eligibility. Under the Medicaid program and under the new Child Health Block Grant, American Indians, Alaska Natives can be eligible for Medicaid, and it is sort of a primary payer rather than the Indian Health Service. What this does is it allows the Indian Health Service providers to build a Medicaid program like other providers for the Native that go there that are eligible for Medicaid under the regular Medicaid rules. The federal government, however, will reimburse us 100% of those Medicaid costs, so there's no state general fund involved there. Our estimates were that anywhere from 25 to 40% of the children that would be covered in this expansion would be Alaska Natives, and as such, if we went with the private option, we would not get this 100% reimbursement. It's only available through Medicaid, and so that we would then be paying some state funds where we would otherwise have the federal government paying 100% of the funding. And so that was largely, when you looked at the numbers, it runs you that direction. And so that was the primary motivator. The other issues, of course, that we've looked at were the fact that it's a relatively small group and we already have a large Medicaid population. So there's some efficiency in just pooling. But we certainly did look at other options. We met with insurance, and I believe some material was sent to the committee earlier on this. We met with insurance representatives and others to discuss some of these issues. There's certainly other states have kind of looked at this differently. But a number of them are going through Medicaid. Some are going to some separate program, and some are doing a little of both. So, in terms of the Child Health Block Grant, there was also provisions added that are not actually part of our block grant, but an allowance that we can cover kids continuously for up to 12 months a year. Currently, Medicaid eligibility is month to month, and so you have kind of this constant sort of churning, and it interrupts treatment. It causes a certain amount of administrative confusion. 1 month you're on, the next month you're off. You get into a treatment program, and then it's cut off because you've lost your coverage. And so under this legislation, there was an allowance that states could elect to provide continuous coverage. We've been proposing in our planning to do up to six months of continuous eligibility, which means if you qualify at the month of application, the child would then be covered for 6 months. At the 6 months, we would then take another look and not be doing this every month. So it would make it more streamlined and also allow more continuity of care. So that's built in, and that would apply not just to the new group, but to the whole Medicaid child population. The third section of the bill is not related directly to this, but we've added language that would allow the state to cover as a Medicaid service. It's called targeted case management, a service for pregnant women and children under age 5. Basically, this is something we've talked about doing in an effort to help support the Healthy Families program. It's not something we plan to do in the short run, but to have the authority to do this that would allow Healthy Families programs to actually be reimbursed for Medicaid children that they serve. And it's a new type of service. A number of states have used this as kind of a refinancing vehicle, and so we've put that in. We've also added something called comprehensive pregnancy-related services, and that was an effort to help cover services of direct entry midwife, which I believe has now essentially been taken care of in a, as far as we know, in a different bill, the working disabled bill. I think that's already been addressed in a separate bill, that issue. That's why it was in this bill. We also have in Section 4, an amendment to the current statute that would allow us to do managed care, basically primary care case management model, without getting a federal waiver. We have had authority to do these types of things. We have not implemented anything yet, but we've had the authority and have been working on plans to do kind of a managed care model. And in the past, until this last balanced budget act last year, we did not have authority to do those kind of plans without getting federal waivers. And the federal government has basically said, you no longer need waivers to do that. You can just do those as part of your normal state plan process. And that's because 49 other states are already doing these things with waivers. It's become more of the standard rather than the exception. And I think we're the only state right now that has not implemented any of these in their Medicaid program. So it's kind of tying into that federal law change. Section 5 is a technical change that I'm not even sure what it is right here, but it's fairly small. Section 6 is an important piece here that is tied to the child health program, and that was under the block grant, states are able to charge premiums between, or some type of cost sharing for pregnant women and kids between 150 and 200% of the poverty level, and that was actually written into the block grant. However, we've been advised that if we do a Medicaid expansion, we can't do that, and we've wanted to continue. We felt that that was a reasonable thing to do, is to have some kind of cost sharing as family income increased on some sliding basis. We haven't constructed a scale or anything, but we felt that was reasonable. The federal government is saying, well, if it's Medicaid, you really can't do that. Medicaid law wouldn't allow it if you do a Medicaid expansion, but we thought we should still have that in there because it is something that, given all of the states and all of the activity around this, we would anticipate maybe revisited at some point in Congress. We're not sure of that at this point, but we left it in.
Can I interrupt just a moment? You're about halfway through. I think what we would like to do is could you come back on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock? Because I'd like to give you the proper amount of time, and we're not going to have time to finish, plus questions. So would that be all right? We'll start you right at 9 o'clock on Wednesday and take as much time as you'd like, in a half hour or so. Is that all right with the committee? Anything else come before the committee? I see none. We're adjourned.